Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
It's Friday, and before you get set to jumpstart your weekend, it's time for another new edition of Listen In with KNN. Now, today's show will bring you sports, laughs, and some serious sports talk as I welcome in the boss, Mr. Brian H. Waters, to the show. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
Time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
It's now time for my favorite part of the show, where I award my Do Good winner of the week. So yes, it's time for Kelsey's Do Good individual winner of the week. And today I have the lovely Miss Sheila Lucera Garcia, a.k.a. Shay Slade, with me on the show as my award winner. Shay, congratulations and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. And Shay, I know, oh my gosh, I did take Spanish class, but I know I probably didn't say your middle name right. So can you give the people your full name as it should be pronounced?
Yes, it's Sheila Lucrecia Garcia.
All right. Oh my God, I cannot roll the R's. I'm so jealous. But nonetheless, so happy to have you. And just for people that don't know about you, tell us a little bit more about you, because I'm honoring you, Shay, because you do so much in the community and you still find time to give back, even as a mom with young children. So tell me a little bit about your business and what you do to give back.
So my business is a makeup. I do makeup, mobile makeup and lashing, where I just come to you either on location for your events, or I can come to the comfort of your home and do your lashes or your makeup. The ways that I've given back so far was on Fox 5, Makeovers for Moms. I had seen that Easy Street Coat that he needed a makeup artist to volunteer, and I just messaged them, and I was like, oh, I'm interested. And then that's how the Fox 5 Makeovers for Moms came about.
Right.
And I'm working on something now. I'm putting it together for prom season. I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm calling it DMV Goes to Prom, where I pick a student from each high school from each state and either do their makeup. Hopefully I can get other sponsors and people to help out with that.
Well, you know, I'm going to be right there with you because I love that idea.
Yeah, so that's my next thing that I have going on and I'm putting together now, and I'm trying to plan what I'm going to do for Mother's Day. I definitely like to do something like we did for Fox 5, which was the Makeovers for Moms. I think it's very important for you to give back, especially when I myself have had so much help, you know, growing my business and just being a mom. So I think it's very important.
Wonderfully said. And just for people that don't know about you, tell us a little bit about your story, because I think you have such a unique story and how, of course, you came to this country and then was able to start your own business as an entrepreneur.
Yes. So my grandmother, she brought me here to America. I was 3 years old when she brought us. And she was so proud to say that, you know, she brought us legally here with documented papers. That's something that she just was like so proud of. And she brought us here to give us a better life. And I feel like recently she's been ill and I've been having more conversations with her. And it's kind of motivated me and reminded me of why we're here in America. And it's just to follow our dreams and to, you know, live that American dream. And it's something I'm definitely pursuing. I've been put in the right places at the right time, and thankfully it's gotten me to where I'm at. I'm only 6 months in. I've been running my business full-time for 6 months so far, and it's been hard, but it's it's worth it, and I'm starting to see what does it reap the benefits of my work.
Oh, my gosh, and that's what it's all about, and we're so proud of you and so happy for you, and I'm so glad to award you for all the great stuff you're doing, and Listen In with K&N is going to be proud to sponsor some of the great stuff you have coming up. And last but not least, I mean, tell me what inspires you, you know, to give back on a daily basis with all the things you have going on, I mean, with all the struggles, I know, with starting and having your own business.
My main motivation for giving back is just I've always wanted to help people and just spread love and happiness. There's so much negativity in the world, and it's like, even if it's something small, like giving your time, if you don't have the finances to give, then at least give your time to something. Like, there's always ways to give, and I believe that in giving, you are blessing not just you are blessing yourself as well. And I think we had this conversation before, and I had mentioned that I feel like when God blesses you, he doesn't just bless you so that you can bless yourself. He blesses you so that you can take your blessing and bless others, and I'm a firm believer in that. So it's definitely something that I'm just it gives me joy.
Oh, my gosh. And I love that. And you're so happy. You're so positive. Shay, last but not least, give the people the information about where they can find you online.
You can find me on Instagram at Shay, S-H-A-Y, _ Slayed, and that's S-L-A-Y-E-D. Or you can find me on Snapchat. I usually post makeup videos there at Shay, _BellaG, and that's spelled S-H-A-Y, _BELLAG. I also have Twitter and Facebook, and that's Shay Slayed as well, but it's the Shay _ Slate.
Perfect. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. Congratulations once again for earning honors this week as Kelsey's Do Good Award winner. There's still a lot of whole show left, so please be sure to stay tuned. We're going to take you to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch, and if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Welcome back to Listen In with K&N on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, the sports town of the district and beyond. It's now time to welcome in my friend and colleague to the show, the one and only Mr. Brian H. Waters. Brian, how are you?
What's up? What's good? Back again.
So good to hear your voice. It's been a while since our tag team duo has been together, but it feels good to be back.
I know, we have to fix that.
We'll see, we're making a start, right? I'm excited to have you on my show because, I mean, you know everything, Brian, and, I mean, you've seen me grow, you've grown, so it's always good to have people that have been there through the journey with you, you know, on a show that you helped
create.
Yeah,
and yeah, I guess. you know, I'm just proud to see how far it's come. You know, I remember the vision. And, you know, remember when it was on Periscope, so, which was great stuff. I mean, at the time when it was on Periscope, Cam Newton was the MVP. Seems
yes.
like so long ago.
Oh, my gosh. That's how you know it was a long time ago, because now he's out the playoffs. We're not even talking Cam Newton right now.
I know, right?
But those were good times. But, Brian, just so people know you, I want to get into your brief bio, and then we're going to kick it off into the show. So, sound good to you?
Yep.
All right, cool. So, Brian H. Waters is the co-host and co-founder of The Wrestling Realm. The Wrestling Realm is a professional wrestling talk show that he co-created in 2011 during his time at the Morgan State University. Brian is also a communication specialist at Johns Hopkins Medicine, where he operates and oversees the Twitter account that informs journalists of the latest research from the institution. Within 2 years, he and his team increased the Twitter account by, get this everyone, 528%. I'm not making those numbers up. It's in writing. And won the 2017 Association of American Medical Colleges Award for Excellence in the category of Electronic Communications. In addition to the Wrestling Realm and Johns Hopkins, Brian also works on the social media team at his church. Yes, giving all praise to the Lord at the Church of the Redeemed of the Lord in Baltimore, Maryland. Prior to Johns Hopkins, Brian worked at ESPN as a production assistant in Bristol, Connecticut. During his time there, he produced highlights for SportsCenter, Mike and Mike in the Morning, and he worked on the SportsCenter social media team. After he left ESPN, he returned back home to Baltimore and worked at Fox Sports 1340, shout out to us, where he worked as a social media manager, broadcaster, graphic designer, and video editor. During his time at Fox, he worked with the great Kelsey Nelson. Yes, guys, that was in writing. I'm not making this up. He actually wrote this. Covering the Orioles, Wizards, and the Redskins. Outside of the media business, Brian is a husband and father of two. He is also a gamer and a gospel drummer for the group Eddie Williams and Family Connection. He also owns his own business, Bay Waters Productions, where he specializes in photography, videography, and graphic designing. Wow, Brian, you pretty much are doing a lot and keeping your hands full. So how do you have time to do the Wrestling Realm show and keep up with the latest in wrestling?
Oh, man, I mean, you know, social media is a gift and a curse. More
yes.
Gifts, though, because, you know, you're always connected. So, you know, when people say, oh, I'm too busy, it's, you know what they say, you're busy for what you want to be busy for, because
that's true.
Everybody keeps their phone in their hand nine times out of ten. So that's pretty much, you know, but I've learned how to balance schedules out better throughout the past, was it almost going on 3 years being back home.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously you're doing a great job. And, you know, we're talking wrestling, so why don't you give my listeners the latest updates in wrestling? What have we been missing?
Well, you know, I just want to make sure that people know, I'm sure they do if they listen to this, that they can tune in to Fox Sports 1340's own Wrestling Marks of Excellence. Shout out to the executive producer, Glenn Thomas, and the one and only, the Wiz, Corey. One of the things I'm actually excited. Yeah, I'm excited about their show, too, because the Royal Rumble's coming up, but before we get there, we got the Monday Night Raw 25th anniversary. Now, I just recently published a piece on Pro Wrestling Power, or actually it's called PWPNation.com. It's actually one of the first sites I started writing with. And on that, I discussed five memories of Monday Night Raw I vividly remember. Now, I'll be 32 this year. I remember the first Monday Night Raw, January 1993. I remember being excited, asking my mom, hey, can I stay up and watch this? The deal was always, if you get up on school Tuesday, it's not a problem. But if you don't get up and go to school next week, you cannot watch Raw. And
ooh.
So I had to tape it. We didn't tape the first one. Oh, we maybe did, but we taped over it. And we taped the second one. And we would tape it here and there. But yeah, the Gary celebrated 25 years, and it's exciting because you have a lot of people coming back, even people that was there when you were watching, like your Stone Cold Steve Austin's MVP, MVP, who's been on the Fox Sports 1340 program. He will be there. It's so many names. I could go on and on. Undertaker, Kane, my favorite women's wrestler of all time, Trish Stratus. So I'm excited about that. I'll be really excited if we get Hulk Hogan, but that's another story.
Oh, my
God.
But,
yeah, that's what's going on in wrestling, you know. And then there's also this women's revolution that's been going on. And, Kelsey, as you know, there's been a lot of, you know, women's sports in general, which, you know, has been gone to a whole new level in the past 2 years. With WWE, it started with Give Divas a Chance, and that's when you had AJ Lee, former Divas champion, basically getting on Twitter saying, look, the men are getting 15, 20 minutes, but we're limited to 5 minutes. And Stephanie McMahon said, I heard your voice, and next thing you know, women were given a chance. That led to women's wrestling taking off to a new level. As I said, we had the Royal Rumble. Well, we're getting ready to have the first 30 women battle royal, which is all women will get in the ring, into the ring. At the end of the match, whoever is the last woman standing will be the winner and will have a title shot of which women, whether it was Raw or SmackDown women's title, a title shot, and they will face the champion at WrestleMania.
Right.
And one of the things I forgot to include in my bio, I didn't say I forgot to, but I'll get into that in a second. I used to work for a women's wrestling organization called
WSU. Yeah, I remember
WSU
that.
Wrestling.
So you've always been a supporter of women's sports.
Yeah, it was called Women's Superstars Uncensored. Now, if you don't mind, let me break some news here. give you a exclusive, because not too many people know this, but I'm no longer with WSU Women's Wrestling.
Uh-oh.
And the reason is because the owner of the company, Mr. DJ Hyde, decided mm-hmm. that he couldn't afford me and a couple of other staff members. Mm-hmm. Now, if you thought the numbers that I took from Johns Hopkins was one thing, so when I joined their social media team, they had about 7,987 followers.
Pretty
7,800. Yeah, 7,887 followers. I took it to above 12,000 followers on Twitter.
Wow.
There were, you know, I would work with the
women.
What was
that time span that you took it from 7,000 to 12?
A year.
Okay.
Within a year. The issue, so with independent women's wrestling, a lot of times you have the fans will come out, but let's be real, they would still look at them as sometimes objects. And the issue that the women have to deal with, and yes, I want to put this out there, even the owner of that company was this way, that the women would a lot of times get booked based on their looks and not their skills. So mm-hmm. even the owner would try to book women that he wanted to sleep with.
Wow.
And I, you know, so the reason why I gained respect, because obviously, you know, I'm not that type of person. You know,
right.
It was, you know, I would go to the wrestlers, hey, what are you planning on doing in your match? Can I get a picture of you before you walk out? Or maybe like WWE does these behind the scenes photos for their Instagram. I said, can we do that? And they were receptive to it. Shout out to my boy, Blake Thomas, who was the producer for the show. We both had the same mindset as far as supporting the women and making sure that they were treated for the because we treated with respect and judged based on their skill set, you know.
Right.
Even want to shout out Glenn for accompanying me and helping me out when I did my first broadcast. Glenn even did the social media that time. You know, as you know, the boss works too.
Yes, very hard. He's been amazing for my show as well.
Yeah, and he even, you know, he did some social media, and they was receptive to him as well because they knew that when the three of us, and Hugh Scott also, we were professional, and we wanted to make sure they had the best product possible.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the owner of the company didn't see the value in women's wrestling, even though there is a women's revolution going on, because he feels that he could do it himself. So, needless to say, I was never fired, but they just changed the passwords on me.
Yeah, I got you. They tried to log in one day and you locked out.
Actually, yeah, it just kicked me out. I wasn't even, you know.
Wow.
So that's just the unfortunate business nature of indie wrestling. But, you know, I'm not sweating it, you know. But I just, you know, people will say, oh, you know, this happened or that happened. You know, I didn't go on Twitter and just go on an angry rant. I wanted
to.
Was
the right
trust
thing
me.
To do. Cause
but
course,
I found the right place.
Twitter
the
is
right
there
person.
Forever.
Yeah, you know. Well, even if, you know, he has not the greatest reputation, but I figure, hey, why don't I save this for something special? And what better place than listening with K&S?
Here you go. I mean, my listeners got first dibs on it. So, hey, I mean, Twitter figures might be going away, you know, at all this gossip and that you just dropped. But I appreciate you dropping it on this show because that's what I want you to be open and honest. That's what I ask every guest, just be open and honest and, you know, tell everybody what's going on in sports. And, I mean, Brian, you mentioned women's wrestling. And I think, you know, something that everyone has been talking about was when WWE announced on Monday that Paige would actually be unable to compete in the first ever Women's Royal Rumble that you were mentioning due to her injury. And then, Brian, that brought up the age-old question that everyone asked about wrestling. Well, two age-old questions, let's say. Of course, everyone said, well, isn't it fake anyway? And then the mm-hmm. second one, of course, that everyone, you know, was asking is basically, well, I mean, how could she get hurt? Is she really an athlete? They consider wrestlers athletes. I kind of want you to address those two questions and what you thought of the Paige injury news coming out this week.
So the thing about Paige's injury right now, so there were reports from Dirt Sheets. And for those who do not know, Dirt Sheets are websites that they claim to have sources. Some of the
right,
stuff is accurate, some of the stuff isn't. Sometimes people just take a guess. if you watch wrestling long enough, like I guarantee you, I know I'm probably getting in trouble for dropping his name so much on this show, but obviously he's a very integral part of my life. Glenn is the type of person, Glenn and I could sit there and we could create a dirt sheet. And we've been watching wrestling long enough where we could write rumors and they could be accurate. You know, because most of the time that's what they do, they guess. There are some people who do have sources, but the sources, I'll say, air quotes, say that Paige is done for her career.
Yeah,
injury. Now, WWE didn't announce it, so what that tells me is they're waiting on a second opinion. I do think it's unfortunate because I hate the F word, and part of it is because I have a few friends in the business, and I've gotten in the ring once, and I took a bump.
You had the whole uniform on and everything?
No, I was working with a company called Real Championship Wrestling, RCW. This was when I was in college, and I was doing social media for them. Now, this is before ESPN. Like, I knew social media, but not to the extent I know it now. And I was doing social media for them, and I got in the ring, and I was just like, I was excited. First of all, I'm in the wrestling ring, been watching this at the time, 25 years, never got in the ring. So I'm in the ring, and I'm just kind of, you know, bouncing around the ropes a little bit here and there. So a guy named Kendrick comes up. He says, "You want me to show you how you really run the ropes?" Yes. So I run. He teaches me one step, two step, turn around, hit with the third step, bounce off the rope, repeat. Cool. Then he says, "All right, now we do this thing we call bumps." In my head, I'm like, I don't need to know that. I'm good. But, you know, I got to be a man. Can't disrespect the business if I say that I don't want to take a bump. So I sucked it up. So he told me how to fall, didn't tuck my chin right, saw stars when I hit the mat.
Wow.
Tried again, still, because that takes time. That's what you notice if you watch, like, on YouTube, they have, like, the secrets of pro wrestling. You'll see when people are learning, they wear helmets for that reason, because you have to, like, get your body adjusted to tucking your chin. It's like swimming, jumping in the water.
Right,
you
it's
know,
an art. Having...
Yeah. So that's when... Yeah, that's what I did, and, you know, and I don't use the F word. I hate that word. Predetermined, yes. Do not call it fake. So, yes, they are athletes. I will say, back in the day, you'll have a lot of people say that the wrestlers today are more athletic just because they're not just, you know, your guys who are, like, on the heavier side. And, you know, or most of the time, even the heavier wrestlers lift. You know, not to say the guys didn't work out back in the day, but you only had, like, a few that went to the gym, you know. But and the ones who did, it was about the physique. Yeah, but you also had to be, like, larger than life. So, like, a guy like Andre the Giant or a guy like a Yokozuna or another one, Haystacks Calhoun. Haystacks Calhoun is one of the bigger wrestlers. Those guys weren't necessarily, like, athletic as much, but then you saw, like, in the mid-90s when Paul White, who was the Giant in WCW, went on WWE, became a big show, he was more an athlete. They brought him in when he came to WCW, and he was booked as the son of Andre the Giant, which, for me as a child at 9 years old, oh, that's Andre the Giant's son. My mother kind of knew a little bit more. She said, no, that's not really his son. Andre only had one child from what she heard, and his life was private. But that's how they booked him. But he was known as more athletic than Andre because he could do the drop kicks even at 7 feet tall.
Right. I love that comparison you did, you know, and really going historically because I think that's what people need to know about wrestling. Honestly, I think it's such a fun sport, honestly. Wrestling is a sport that's really involved the fans. And, you know, if you really watch it, you'll become a fan of it. Because for that aspect, you know, if people say that, they'll be haters to every sport, Brian. You know, I mean, when I interned for NASCAR, we dealt with the same thing. You know, some people said those aren't athletes, right, as drivers. But, you know, you deal with it, you go on, and guess what? Some of those biggest people hating on it are probably the main ones watching. So that is
exactly
what is funny about sports. But I appreciate you giving
Did I ever
us...
tell you about the time I had to do a NASCAR highlight?
Oh, my gosh.
When I was at ESPN.
It was the most fun thing you've ever did, right?
Well, actually, I should say this. I only had to log it, and I've no disrespect, but I did kind of doze off a little bit. It was,
Brian.
They had the same person who produced all the highlights but she was getting ready to do something really cool with her highlights, so she needed me to log it so she wouldn't have to backlog. So I was like, okay, cool. And so I'm, you know, logging. She's like, just mark that every time they change, you know, they cross the finish line. So I was like, okay. And I'm just marking, and I'm just watching it, and I'm just like dozing off. I'm like, whoa, okay, can't do that. Can't fall asleep on the job.
You know what's so funny? I always tell people this, Brian. NASCAR is one of those sports you really have to understand. And even me, when I first started interning for them, I had never really watched a NASCAR race. But once I understood the sport, you can get so much more into it. And I tell everybody, too, you have to go to a race, and once you go to a race, it'll be so much more enjoyable. That's always what I preach at NAPJ when I was on the NASCAR panel. I said that very same thing. So, you know, I hope it's something people give a chance. I always say give everything a chance. If you say wrestling is the F word, as we call it, give it a chance. Go to a wrestling match and really go see what it's all about.
I'm mad because you just reminded me I actually had an opportunity to go to a NASCAR race when I was in Connecticut. What happened, this is the last year ESPN had the contract with NASCAR, and a good friend of mine, matter of fact, you met him at the CAA semifinals game, my buddy Lucas, he was on the NASCAR beat, and he was like, hey, man, we get all these free passes, so if we're, like, close to, like, Vermont or one of the states that's near Connecticut, he said, you can come, I'll give you a pass, and I really wish I could. I was like, I called my dad. Hey, my dad watches it. My dad loves cars. He was a huge Dale Earnhardt fan. And my cousin, Josh, loves it. My cousin's actually, it's funny, he's more like my dad than I am. But he was like, hey, I said, yeah, maybe, you know, y'all can come up. We can get free passes and go to NASCAR. And we just never could make it work.
Oh, we'll see. Like I said, once you go, I mean, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. And, I mean, Brian, I want to get into the show. We're having so much fun sports talk. But, I mean, talking about opportunities, Brian, I want to kick it off with my doing it big in the DMV segment. Balling Out with Kels, we're going to talk some DMV hoops, which I hope you ride along for. And I want to start off with my grad school, the Georgetown Hoyas, and their basketball team. They've been really the talk of the town lately, of course, in their first season being led by Georgetown great Pat Ewing. On Wednesday night, Brian, they played number one Villanova Wildcats, who traveled to Washington, D.C. And crazy enough, Brian, this was the first time since 1985, the 1985 National Championship game, that Ewing has faced off against his old Big East rival. So, right, a lot of buildup. But unfortunately for the Hoyas, Brian, they ended up on the losing side. I mean, Brian, Villanova crushed them. They handed Georgetown their worst loss in 40 years, Brian, 40 years, longer than we've been alive. I mean, it was that bad. And they led by as many as 44 points. Like, if you started watching that game, I'm sure you turned the channel. If you're a Georgetown fan, I mean, your heart hurt. You might have been crying in Capital One Arena. Like, it was that bad of a loss. I mean, Villanova was basically just playing around. It was almost like watching them scrimmage against Georgetown. And, I mean, it just wasn't their night, Brian. And really in the Big East, I mean, Villanova, of course, they are number one in the nation. They are a good team. They're now 17-1, 5-1 in the Big East. But Georgetown, it just seems like they can't get it together. I mean, now, first they lost to Seton Hall earlier last week, then they lost to Villanova at home. 88-56 was the final score. And, Brian, Georgetown has yet to be a ranked team. So I just want to hear your thoughts. I mean, is it too early to begin judging Pat Ewing? Or, I mean, are we really kind of seeing the verge? I mean, is this going to be the end of Georgetown basketball, you know, as we know it, and it's not going to be this powerhouse program anymore?
You know, he just got there. So I'm always one to give people a chance. People said the same thing about John Harbaugh, I remember, even though he led them to, you know, I think it was 11-5 or his first season, but because the Ravens wasn't a high power offense, and I know it just made a kind of apples to orange comparison, but, you know, we got to give Pat a chance. You know, obviously he's invested in the program. And that's the thing, especially with colleges, you want somebody that's invested. You know, you don't want somebody who is like, okay, this is a drive-by stop for them just so they can get to somewhere bigger, you know?
Right, right. And I feel like with Pat, I mean, like you said, it's his first season. Let's remember, a lot of these recruits he didn't bring in, right? So he's playing with a team that was pretty much handed to him. So I think people, of course, have to give him a chance. I mean, Yes, we all know Pat Ewing was great. He was a great basketball player in college, a great player in the NBA. But let's judge him now on his coaching abilities, right? You can't take all that with you. And I think a video kind of him went viral, you know, when he told a player basically like, I mean, did you practice that shot in practice? So why are you taking it now? He said, did you practice that shot on one foot? I mean, if you didn't do all the necessary things that you needed to do in practice, then why would you try it at the game, you know, when the game's on the line? So I think he has the coaching abilities, Brian, but it's hard,
and I
right?
love that because it shows that he's a no-nonsense type of coach.
Right.
And that's what you need, especially even in this day of social media, you know, and the day where athletes are more concerned, a lot of them are concerned about their brand. You need that. And, you know, him saying, like, no, look, this is no nonsense. This is what we came here for. You didn't do it in practice. Don't do it out there.
Right, right. So, like, why try it in the game? And I think that's what he's bringing. It's going to take time. I mean, I know we're all remembering the 80s when Georgetown basketball was king, but look, people, we're not at those times anymore. I mean, college basketball mm-hmm. has gotten better and better and better each year. It's still early. I mean, when you come off the worst loss, I think the only way you can go is up, Brian. So I'm telling all Hoya Saxon Nation to calm down. It's okay. I mean, they still have a good team. But honestly, it went down to ball security, Brian. I mean, I had an old coach that always used to say, you don't turn the ball over, you win the game. And that pretty much applies in every sport, right? You don't make your own mistakes. You don't beat yourself.
And they got St. John's coming up, who's lost, what, seven straight, eight out of the last.
You don't
ten.
Worry about St. John's on your schedule.
So that's a good rebound game. Okay.
It's their time, you know, to come back and, again, learn how to take care of the ball because, unfortunately, I mean, the Hoyas, I mean, they have one of the worst turnover ratios in the entire country, which, of course, you don't want. I mean, by halftime, I think they had about nine. I think they finished the game with, I mean, I think about 17. It was crazy. So, I mean, that, of course, led to Villanova, you know, just blowing the lights out. But Georgetown, I think they're going to rebound. But, you know, now I want to take it from D.C. We're going to cross over states, and we're going to go to Maryland. My other alma mater, Brian, the University of Maryland Terrapins, where they haven't been having really any luck on the basketball side either, Brian.
These schools.
Oh, my God. What's going
so
on with DMV?
I was going to say, you want to get your Ph.D. at Morgan now?
Right, I have to keep crossing over, right? Oh, my gosh, don't get anybody started. I always get asked, Kelsey, you're going to go back to school and get your Ph.D.? I always say, when it's honorary, I do not need to. I don't feel like pulling out any more loans. Unless somebody wants to give it to me for free, then hey, I am good with my two. Brian, it's been hard, basically, for hoops in the DMV. Of course, Maryland as well, they're trying to find the winning side of the ball game, and really, they've really only had production lately from two players, and that's in Cowan and Herter. Other than mm-hmm. that, I mean, Maryland really needs people to step up. And these two are young. They're sophomores. But I do think we have to remember Maryland had some huge injuries. They lost two of their starting forwards. So, of course, I mean, their team is injured. But I always say, I mean, you can't put the team all on injuries, right? That's why you have a full team. That's why you have 12 players, right, on the team. And sometimes when you need other people to step up, they need to step up. But at the same time, Brian, were any of us thinking that Maryland was going to win the whole championship, you know, and do all well in March Madness? No. But Maryland basketball has been so strong, historically.
But were they really? I mean, they got one championship, right?
Oh, man, you had to go back there. But I will say, you always put them in your bracket. At least I do.
Yeah. They live in the Sweet 16, but, you know, strong might be a little stronger word.
Oh, you're
but
hurting
I will
my
say, no, but I will say this. They did, for years, they went up against, you know, the big dogs of the ACC and beat them, you know.
Who can forget the Maryland, Tar Heel basketball games are the, get this one, Brian, the Maryland Duke games. You know, we still don't mess with Duke people.
Right. You know?
It was just good basketball. It was always a good game. I'm still getting
even
used
though
to
they
Big
tried
Ten
to...
basketball.
Huh?
I'm still getting used to this Big Ten basketball with Maryland. It's a different vibe. Big Ten basketball is a different vibe. I mean, it's not bad. It's still good, but I don't know. ACC basketball is just something different. It's a whole nother level.
Exactly.
Well, hopefully the Terps, you know, rebound. Of course, like I said, they did have big injuries to Justin Jackson, who has been such a solid player for them, as well as Ivan Bender. So, I mean, they had some huge losses. But, you know, I'm not going to keep dwelling on the sadness of DMV hoops, Brian. I mean, DMV, we have enough going on, right? People sad about basketball. Mm-hmm. Some people are sad about politics. I want to make people happy. So we are going to switch things over, and well, it made us laugh. Hopefully it made us happy on social media with my next topic as I move to Kelsey's Across the Nation segment, because I want to talk about the madness, Brian, that happened between the Rockets and the Clippers. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I've seen so many memes of an incident in one day. So, I mean, it was just crazy. But if people didn't hear about this, this is basically what happened, because I feel like we need to get to the backstory before we start diving into it. So, basically, Los Angeles Clippers in Houston, they scrapped on the court, right? And there were two ejections. So, Trevor Ariza tried to confront Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin after the game, right? And basically, these two teams, that quickly became the hottest new NBA rivalry. but also, you know, you can't forget Paul's post-game burn toward Blake Griffin. I mean, it was just... it was basically craziness after the game. And then we heard about secret tunnels, Brian, right, getting to locker rooms that, you know, is not true, but it was just funny to think about players going through these secret tunnels to go confront the other players in their locker room. And now we have suspensions, actually, that came down from the NBA. But, I mean, it was just crazy, Brian. Like, it was just I love how the NBA TV guys really just started laughing about the whole incident, because I think that's all that you can do. I mean, and can you believe that NBA actually had to conduct 20 interviews, Brian, to get to the bottom of it before, of course, they could make a suspension. But, you know, they had to fully understand, you know, what happened and what led to everything. But, you know, Rockets role players, of course, was mostly Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green. They each received 2-game suspensions for their role in the matter. But the other two Houston players that were present post-game in the whole chaotic scene in the Clippers locker room, you had 9-time All-Star Chris Paul and, of course, MVP candidate James Harden. But they both actually didn't receive any punishment. So, of course, that has some people talking. But I just want to get your viewpoint, Brian. I mean, what happened? And why are we experiencing this right now in the NBA season?
Well, so I want to say, when you look back at the Los Angeles Clippers, I feel like that's a team, a bunch of troublemakers. But there's a common, like, all right, remember, all right, so what is it, 2012 to about 2015, when their rivalry was the Golden State Warriors, and that was a matchup we wanted to see in the playoffs. And if you remember, before Steve Kerr was there, the Warriors flirted with, I want to say, between a seed of 6-8, right?
Right.
And the Clippers used to always beat them in the playoffs. But it was just like, you know, and then they would get into it. You remember, because Matt Barnes was actually on the Clippers at the time.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
Matt
when
Barnes.
He used a couple expletives and said that, you know, I love my team, but they gotta stand up. And he's basically, he was calling them soft.
Right.
But then when the Warriors surpassed the Clippers, ended up doing something the Clippers could never do, probably never will, and that's win an NBA championship. But we never got that matchup. But then you look at, you know, you have and mind you, the year we thought we was gonna get it in the conference finals, when the Clippers were up 3-1 on the Rockets, ironically, they let them back. But then you look at this, and what I see is I see Chris Paul being bitter, which he got no better, but I see him being, you know, he lost the first matchup and he lost to the team, and for the stuff that he said to Blake, I'm about to call him Blake, bro. Blake Griffin, that lets you know where they were. You know,
we're starting to see the real stuff that was behind it.
Yeah, because you don't use that word. It, you might say F you, but you're not going to call your brother that word. I'm from Baltimore. When you say the B word or the W word, that's fighting words. I was always taught that, you know.
Yeah.
I say I grew up in the streets, but I you know, I played basketball on the court a couple of times, and as they said, don't use those words. They're your fighting words. So for Chris Paul to say that and then to go through the secret song, yeah, it is funny. I understand. I'm not mad. The NBA has to do what they have to do. They have to send a message. Calling the LAPD, I don't think that was necessary.
I mean, we heard the cops coming. It was crazy. It was madness.
I do think it would have been funny, though, if they would have actually started getting in a fight. You know, it's funny you mentioned James Harden. Because
locker room brawl.
Even though I do think Chris Paul is more about that life than Blake Griffin, you know, and I was watching, you know, I was listening to people talk about it this week, and one of the things they said was Blake Griffin or Klay Thompson one of the light skinned brothers gonna have to smack somebody in order to get respect. So,
oh,
because
that's
they're not
hilarious.
Being respected.
You know,
I was
just
Pushing
thinking Blake could
who
get
said it,
hit
so.
Because he's still dating the Kardashian or the Jenner, right? Kendall Jenner. I figured
who,
Chris
Blake
one
Griffin?
Him. Isn't he still dating Kendall? I don't know.
He might
I'm not
be.
Keeping up with my entertainment tabs, but if he is, I know they wouldn't want him getting involved in that bad storyline. But, Brian,
but,
it was just crazy.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you this, though, Brian. Do you think they had any point? Because, of course, they're saying that, I mean, everyone was mad at Griffin, right, because they said he went out of his way to elbow D'Antoni on the sidelines. I mean, do you think there's any, I mean, do they have a right to be mad about that? Because the NBA, Brian, explained that the lack of they explained the lack of punishment for Griffin by saying that he was inbounds when it happened. And basically it was negligible for contact. So basically they said that's why he didn't get punished. But then, of course, people are saying that he clearly went out of bounds when it happened. So I don't know how technical you want to get, but
yeah, I mean, if that's what they said, I understand. But I think Chris Paul did the right thing. You know, you got to have your coaches back. You're traveling with those guys now.
Right.
So, and you know, let's be real. They say he forced his way out of Los Angeles for a reason. So it's the reason why he was out of there. You know, enough with that tribute video stuff. It's the reason why it happened. So. Now we know how they feel. Now we see why they blew a 3-1 lead. Now we see why the Clippers will always clip in May.
Ooh, shots fired.
I'm a Lakers fan.
To say the least, it was crazy. But
the Lakers could Lakers could go 0-82 and still be more relevant than the Clippers.
Oh my! You know, and I can't disagree with you. I mean, it's just, you know, it's always somebody in the shadows, right? It's kind of like if you have that, like, and I hate to bring families into it, but if you have a brother and a sister, and you know, you have one kid that's doing a lot, and then the other kid's not. It's always hard sometimes to get out of the shadows, and I feel like, you know, the Lakers are just the big brother, and then the Clippers are the little brother. Not saying that little brothers and sisters, you know, can't get out.
No, you
the
hit
shadows,
it right on the head.
That's how I'm just going to compare. But it's funny the Griffin thing, you know, was brought up because then people went back into his history, Brian, and they talked about Halloween night back in 2013. And I think you pretty much alluded to this, you know, when he exchanged words with Golden State Warriors coach Mark Jackson at the time during a similar situation. And then if you listen to Mark Jackson speak this week, he's now with ESPN as an analyst. He actually referenced that incident during the Clippers-Nuggets game on Wednesday night. So obviously Griffin is no stranger to getting into it with coaches. So it'll just be interesting.
And he wouldn't do that now because, you know, Draymond been drinking more of the goon juice. So.
You know Draymond don't play either. So, hey, that was
right.
Cool.
You know, before he was trying to make sure he had a spot on the team. He had to play nice. Now he's two-time All-Star, one-time All-Star.
Confident, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about. But you know what now, Brian? We've had enough of this craziness with secret tunnels and stuff like that. So I want to go to the biggest headlines in sports. And I want to kick it off with the name that, I mean, we've pretty much been talking about all last year. But I want to talk about his charity work. I want to kick it off with Colin Kaepernick and his pledge to charity. Of course, NFL free agent Colin Kaepernick, he actually announced Wednesday, Brian, that he will name 10 beneficiaries over the next 10 days for the final $100,000 of his $1 million pledge to charity. Each organization pick will receive an additional $10,000 from a different charity. So the first charity that was announced this week was Silicon Valley Debug, which is a community organization in San Jose and Northern California's South Bay that benefits youth, immigrants, and low-wage workers. The match to Kaepernick's $10,000 comes courtesy of, we were just talking about the Warriors, Golden State Warriors for Kevin Durant. So he actually matched it. So basically they'll get $20,000 total that will go towards their travel stipends for families to visit their loved ones in prison, raising awareness of a campaign for a law that would increase protections to young people in prison. Basically, they're going to help, you know, make programs for bail and supporting bail initiatives so they can seek to end bail. So I think it's great what he's doing and finding these different charities and then finding other athletes that will team up with him. Then if that's not enough, Brian, on Thursday, he announced where the second $10,000 will be going. He actually collabed with Jesse Williams, who, of course, a lot of people got to know from his 2016 BET Awards speech that he made on equality. He pledged $10,000 to the Advancement Project that's actually based out of right here in Washington, D.C. Williams will match Kaepernick's pledge, making the donation to the Advancement Project $20,000. So what are your overall thoughts on Kaepernick really, I mean, about to reach his $1 million pledge mark that he said he would after, of course, he started kneeling and basically said, well, in the meantime, he's going to give to charity?
I mean, I love it. It reminds me, so I asked one of the managers at, you know, one of the public relations managers I know, and I said, if you was his publicist, would you have him do interviews? I said, because he's been quiet. And I said, you know, it's, you get text and you get print articles about, you know, he's working out, he's ready for football, you know. And she said, unless he could, like, really deliver the speech effectively and help people know, she said she'd probably have him keep doing what he's doing, just let it show through his work. Reminds me of from Cat Williams. It's pimping, pimping.
Yeah,
stand up now. This might sound way off topic, but bear with me. So there was a spot when this was, he was talking about the baseball steroid allegations and all that. And he said, Roger Clemens was a sugarer. I was not on steroids. He said, but you know, every time Barry came up, he said they kept bringing up Barry's name. And what Barry do, he just kept hitting home runs. And he said, and I thought about Colin Kaepernick, and I'm like, you know, like, I've read it, and then just hearing you run down everything, it's like they want to bring him down. Oh, you didn't kneel, even though he said he would stand, which I've heard you say on this previous episode. He said he would stand. People forget, but what is he doing? He's not whining. He's not, oh, somebody need to stop me. He's not going on Twitter saying a bunch of stuff. He just keeps doing charity. And what what's happened? The more they break him down, try to tear him apart, he just keeps giving away money to charity. Giving away money to less fortunate. So I love it.
Right. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I think everybody obviously should give back. I mean, it's the civic duty. I mean, we just passed Dr. Martin Luther King Day, and his whole purpose was serving others. But Colin Kaepernick, I love, you know, that even though he's not in the NFL, he didn't let that get them down. He's not boo-hooing. He's not crying. He's giving to others and making people smile. And I love that he's bringing on other athletes to this initiative as well, because I think the world is only as good as we all are to each other, Brian. And that's what he's doing. And I feel like, you know, I have to commend him. I think that's why he's getting all these awards, because of how great of a person he's been off the football field. And, I mean, his story is still to be told. So who knows what's next for him, but I definitely wanted to kick it off with him because I want to commend him on the great work that he's doing, and congrats to all the charities getting honored and recognized by him. You know, I really hope they make a true difference with the money they're getting. But now, Brian, I don't know if you're ready to sit back on some petty juice, but I want to move to my next topic because Jalen Rose was sipping on that petty juice because he actually called Paul Pierce petty. So basically, for people that don't know about the situation, there was a plant Isaiah Thomas tribute video that was canceled by the Boston Celtics after Paul Pierce, the truth, objected to it because it coincided with his jersey retirement night. Uh-oh, that's right. Pierce has basically been really vocal about how he wants things to go down at TD Garden on February 11th. And Thomas even tweeted that he didn't want the Celtics to tribute him, okay? So he's kind of being more humble, you know, like, hey, I don't need it. That's what Thomas was saying. But Paul Pierce, meanwhile, was like, let me give you this list, and this is how it's going to go down, people. But on Wednesday on ESPN's NBA Countdown, Rose actually addressed the situation from his analyst seat. And let me tell y'all, people, that Jalen did not hold back at all. He said, I think it was petty on Paul Pierce's part. Because to me, there's going to be all types of announcements that happen during the 48 minutes of that game. All types, he said. Celebrating Isaiah Thomas could be one of them. It does not take away from your situation, like Kobe's, happened during the game. But they're doing yours post-game. And then Pierce basically responded by saying he did believe it would have taken away from his night. And basically he said, throughout the game, this is from Pierce, throughout the game, you're going to have different memories from the time I spent there. So now you take another 2 minutes from those memories, he said. And then Rose, you know, he wasn't done yet on his segment. He said, can I tell you something about your birthday? It ain't only your birthday. It's a lot of people's birthdays. Happens all the time. But it's madness going on. But I will note this, Brian. Thomas was originally supposed to be honored during the Cavaliers-Celtics game on January 3rd. But, of course, he was inactive due to a hip injury. So, of course, they didn't want to do it while he was inactive, right? They wanted him to be playing. That's why they pushed it back. But I just kind of want to hear your whole thoughts. I mean, is Paul Pierce being selfish you know, not wanting to share the night, or is Jalen Rose, you know, I mean, do you agree with Jalen Rose? Is he being petty, or do you agree with Paul Pierce? I mean, should he have his own night that's dedicated only to him? Because, of course, we know how big of a star he was in Boston.
Well, two things, three things, all right. Well, let's go back to January 3rd. Right? Remember, that happened the day after Isaiah Thomas returned, right?
Yes.
Which I was mad about, but I also saw Tyronn Lue taking a little step out of Greg Popovich's book because I felt like his first, like, why not return against the Celtics? But it was also, okay, we don't know how he's going to play his first game back. Let's bring them play the night before. Not to say Damian Lillard is a slouch, but Kyrie Irving is probably the best point guard in the league. I'm going to say second best because I like John Wall better. That's just me. Actually, but no, I can't even say that. The East, because I think, you know, Russ is my guy. But when you look at it, one, I understand Paul Pierce. I was happy that he at least was vocal about it. He didn't hide behind somebody else. He didn't say, have send Kevin Garnett or Antoine Walker. He said it. You know, I respect him for that. But I understand what Jalen Rose is saying, too. Like, you know, that was kind of petty. I'm glad they said it on TV. It makes for great television, which, you know, I think they said that. I think it's like if you and I would say, we go, huh?
I said it does make for good TV because Jalen Rose started trending.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's something like you and I would have did. We said, hey, look, I'm not going to agree with you. Let's take this to the air. Let's make it better. Let's type it up a little. It's like wrestling. You know, everything you can make a wrestling reference.
Right, because I'm sure they're friends, right?
Yeah, he said they do know, and I gotta credit Max Kellerman with this because it's not my own thought, but it did make me say, "Wow, he got a point." For me, when it happened, what we saw was the Celtics showed Paul Pierce what he really is. He ain't Kobe, man.
Ooh.
They wouldn't have did that for Larry Bird. I absolutely not. The Lakers wouldn't have did that for Kobe.
Of course, right.
The Wizards would not have done that for Wes Unseld. The Bulls, sure enough, wouldn't have did it for Michael Jordan for a Derrick Rose comeback. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think that hurt Paul Pierce deep down inside because he's like, man, I'm really not Kobe.
Right.
They don't love me. They don't care about
tour.
And even if my own city, the place that I brought a championship to, couldn't even say the fact they even thought about it, it's like if you dating somebody, right? And you it's to say dating, not you're not an official item, but then somebody else come along and you tell them, you know what, so and so said they might be available, so if they're available, I'm going to date with them, and then they whine and fuss about it. You're like, all right, you know what, I ain't going to date with them, we'll go out. That fact is that you just create doubt in that first person's mind that they realize, one, they're not the only one, and they realize, wait a minute, yo, she ain't really feeling me like that. So that's what happened. Paul Pierce got it revealed to him that he clearly wasn't the prettiest girl with the dance no more, and clearly they had their mind split with somebody else. Now, I understand, and guess what? To me, no. Isaiah Thomas, yeah. Did he have a better season than Paul Pierce ever had? Absolutely. But, and I also believe credit at the coach. I think he fit well in the coach's system. But I'm not saying he's a bad player. Cause I've been a fan of him since, you know, when he was with the Kings and the Suns. But, no,
So tell me, do you like that Isaiah Thomas, Brian, is kind of being more humble about it, you know, saying like, you know, it's fine, whatever, you know, he doesn't even really want to be honored. I mean, how are you feeling about Isaiah Thomas's reaction?
I think he's laughing about it. I think he's sitting there with LeBron James and laughing about it. Let's not act like the Celtics and the Heat didn't have that rivalry. So I can see LeBron being petty, like, look, little bro. Look, you know, he called him a little pit bull. He said, look, don't even worry about those stuff. You hear that. You ain't got to worry about that.
Right,
said,
right.
Know, let him be petty. He can cry. Go out there and make sure when you write your statement, make sure you say, because this has caused controversy, you know. Don't hold back. Don't say, you know what, I don't need a tribute night, or, you know, we can push my back. Make sure you say, because this caused controversy. The fact that he said that is basically him saying, because you was crying, like Rob from BSO said, because you was crying, you can have your night.
And
so, yeah,
you know,
LeBron did put him up to that.
The craziest thing to me about this, and I'm a Paul Pierce fan. You know, I love when he came here to Washington and helped the Wizards. I don't care what nobody says. That shot was made before the buzzer, and the Wizards should have went on. But I'm not even going to get into that conversation.
I watched it. I'm sorry.
I don't want to get into my feelings tonight, Brian. oh my gosh. But I will say that I love Jalen Rose's point about the birthdays, right? Because it's just like my birthday is July 17th, right? But I also share my birthday with a whole lot of other people. I like that point, but I don't think it relates to this. And my problem is with the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas and Paul Pierce are both great in their own rights, right? We can both agree to that. You know, and of course, most people are going to have a favorite player. But of course, it was different styles of basketball.
I'm not ready to call Isaiah Thomas great yet. I'm sorry.
I think he was great for the Celtics. I'm going to say he's great for the Celtics. I mean, and I think Isaiah, and I call Isaiah Thomas great, too, because of his size and,
mm-hmm.
and the stuff that he was able to do. I mean, he's not
short.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. No, Paul Pierce, yeah, but I'm not ready to call Isaiah Thomas great yet. Good, very good, but is his level going to get retired?
As a Celtic. As a Cavalier, I think he's a good basketball player because, of course, the company that he's around. But at the same time, I mean, when I really have watched Isaiah Thomas, Brian, he did save the Celtics a lot of times and a lot of game winners as
he
a
did.
Celtic. And he gave us good rivalries in the East because the Celtics with Isaiah Thomas, I mean, even with Kyrie now, but the Celtics with Isaiah Thomas were such a solid team, right? I mean, you knew you're going to always have to get through, I mean, with LeBron now, you have to get through Cleveland, but then you also have to get through Boston. And, you know, Isaiah Thomas was a key component because he gives you points, he gives you assists. You know, he's a floor general, which he's supposed to be.
And he would have went down if Rondo didn't get hurt in the first round.
I just feel like that's why he deserves his own night, though. I mean, why would you give somebody like him? I don't understand why in the first place you would try to do two people in one night. I don't care who you are. That's like if the Wizards, Brian, did try to do John Wall and Bradley Beal on the same night. I'm saying that because why would you try to do it in the same night, Brian? Just do two separate nights. That, to me, is just point blank period, Brian. Point blank
That's
period.
True.
That's just my personal opinion. The NBA season is long enough, people. We all know that. So I don't even get why
but
they
the NBA,
just think that was okay.
The drama.
But
I
it
think
is
the Celtics
drama.
Knew this. You know, somebody says the best thing about the NBA season. You know, it's the drama. I love it.
It really
honestly.
Is because I mean, we always have something. We always have something. But basically, I mean, I want Paul Pierce. You know, I want him to get his night. I want him to get his shine. He has a list. Celtics follow that list. I mean, just make the man happy. He's retired, living his life. Make him happy, okay? Give him what he wants. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, he's so funny.
In all seriousness, I agree with you, you know. But I, like I said, I just feel like the Celtics told us what they really thought about Paul Pierce. I hate to say that. But, and they did, you know. Like I said, Magic wouldn't even dare did that to Kobe.
I like what you said. I mean, it's such great points, but oh my gosh.
Even,
my gosh.
I put it like this. Even if the Lakers, for whatever reason, would have hung Derek Fisher's number up there, they wouldn't have did that to him. Like,
that's
oh, yeah.
A great
you know.
That's such a great point. But I love how you said the point about Isaiah Thomas talking with LeBron James.
That's just my opinion. That's what, you know, people out there, you know, the millions and millions of listeners that listen in with KNN be out there saying, oh, yeah, the LeBron James said, like, no, that's my opinion.
Too funny, but, you know, I want you to have your opinion, but I want to stay in the NBA now, and I want to talk about a more technology in NBA storyline that's been happening, and that's with the Dallas Mavericks. So, of course, the billionaire star of ABC Shark Tank, and, of course, he's a tech entrepreneur, and then he also owns the Dallas Mavericks. I'm talking about Mark Cuban, of course. He said that the team will soon accept Bitcoin, and that's something I know that we've all been hearing about nonstop. In the news lately, it was revealed, actually, when a Twitter user, Brian, asked Cuban on Monday when would it be possible to buy tickets with this currency. And he said, hey, next season. but not only will they be adding Bitcoin, they'll be accepting BTC, ETH, and possibly some other currencies. It's just crazy to me now. I mean, soon we'll be able to see basketball games with buying tickets in all types of ways. That just tells you how the world is changing. I feel like the game is changing, and, you know, I love, Brian, that it seems like the NBA is always in the forefront of technology. And I feel like, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You know, Mark Cuban reminds me of Eric Bischoff. I don't know if you know who Eric Bischoff is. Eric Bischoff is the only he was a general manager. I think that was his proper title for WCW back in the
Okay.
90s. He's the only person who could say he beat Vince McMahon in ratings for I think it was 88 weeks or something like that. If I'm wrong, I know Corey will correct me. But Eric Bischoff was, so the way the Monday Night War started was Ted Turner, the owner of WCW and Turner Broadcast, was like, Eric, what I got to do to compete with Vince? He said, I was stuck. I didn't know what to say. I wish the real Dwayne Allen could give you the invitation because he does it perfect. He said, give me live Monday night. And he was like, he was scared, but he had to do it. And Eric, when you look at the similarities, Mark Cuban reminds me of Eric Bischoff. It's like that sly, slick way, and they gamble a lot. You remember Cuban said he gambled on the Super Bowl the year I was just watching the clip earlier, Seahawks and the Broncos, and he gambled the first play was going to be a safety or something, or a sack, and it led to a safety. And when he does stuff like this, and I think this is one of those gamble quick spur moments, next season, you know.
Right.
I don't know
if
it's going to happen. It's going to be interesting. I'm not really – I don't know enough about cryptocurrency. I don't know enough about Bitcoin.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see.
It will be. And I will say Bitcoin has been going up and down, Brian. I mean, we all know the stock market. You just never knew. No, you know, and Mark Cuban even said – he said you should only invest in what you can afford to lose. I hope everybody remembers that. Only invest in what you can afford to lose. Because on Wednesday, actually, it marked the second day of a sell-off for Bitcoin. And they were actually traded over $19,000 on the Coinbase exchange in December, but they have fallen below $10,000 for the first time since November. So if you understand the stock market, you understand what I'm saying. So it'll be interesting, Brian, to see. But I do like that Mark Cuban takes chances, but also he's able to take chances because according to Forbes, he's worth $3.3 billion. You know, most of us aren't worth that much. So we can't take those same chances. But at least the Mavericks, you know, we'll see how it works. I think, you know, anytime you can make it easier for people to get access to games, it's good. And talking about access to games, Brian, I now want to go on to the latest news. The NBA All-Star starters were released on Thursday afternoon, which I know everyone's excited about. So the people that you thought would be captains are captains. Cleveland Cavaliers forward LeBron James and Golden State Warriors guard Stephon Curry led All-Star voting in their respective conferences, and they will serve as the captains for the All-Star game next month, you know, to no surprise. And also some names that got picked up. Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo, yes, the Greek freak, he will be there again. Philadelphia's Joel Embiid, Boston's Kyrie Irving, Toronto's DeMar DeRozan were all selected as starters from the Eastern Conference. And then on the West, we had Houston's James Harden, yes, the beard, Golden State's Kevin Durant, and New Orleans teammates, we got both of them. We got Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, who were selected as starters from the West. And, of course, starters were determined by a vote from fans, players, and a select group of media, which I think me and Brian need to soon be included in one day. They were announced by the NBA, of course, as I said, on Thursday. So I thought it was pretty interesting. And one more thing for people to note, fans accounted for 50% of the vote, while all current players and the media accounted for 25% each. And then one other note I want to make was that actually James Harden beat Antetokounmpo as the top overall vote getter among fans. So James Harden got the most votes from fans. So obviously there's a lot of beard love out there. But I just kind of want to hear your thoughts, Brian, on the All-Star starters. I mean, do you agree with the votes?
So first of all, can I say that I am happy the centers are back?
Oh, my gosh.
Because...
yes, in the game.
So, but regardless, even though Kobe Bryant is the greatest player ever to lace up a pair of boots. I mean, I said boots. I'm sorry. Lace up a pair
like,
of sneakers.
Come on, Brian. It's a different show.
he's the greatest NBA player until Mr. The real number 23, LeBron James, takes over that reign once his career is over.
Okay.
The center position has always been my favorite position. I just think because – I don't know. It just is. And even my guy on NBA 2K 18 is a center at B Waters 24 on PlayStation Network. But I'm happy because, you know, they went for front court bars, and I hated that. I mean, I know they still say that now, but it was like, you know, I grew up when there was David Robinson, Alonzo Mourning, Hakeem the Dream, and of course, the one only the greatest center of all time, in my opinion, Shaquille O'Neal. So, you know, you had a variety of centers, and you had even Vlade Divac, Arvydas Sabonis. Everybody had a center. Dale Davis. But
Real.
now it's like center. Yeah, thank you. Real centers. And they wasn't pulling up shooting threes either. Now you got all these stretch forwards, and it's just annoying. But to see the real, like, the guy, I mean, I know Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins play on the same team, but you know, Boogie Cousins is my favorite center in the league. You know, if I had my starting five, he would definitely be on it. The starting five of favorite players and starting five of people in the league. So I'm excited about him and Joel Embiid. I think it's funny that Embiid, he hit Rihanna with the now back then you ain't want me now,
Oh,
hot you all on me.
that was
You know,
hilarious. He's so
yeah, when
funny.
he made this announcement on Thursday that he was no longer interested
And you
in us.
know,
I thought
Brian,
that
I
was
love the
great.
best part of Embiid is that, you know, he said he wanted to be an all-star one day. And now look at him. I mean, it's amazing. And then he's the first 76er player to start an all-star game since my guy out of Georgetown, Allen Iverson, in 2006. Wow. I mean,
Yeah,
what
and
a
you
way
know,
to come in.
And what's funny is that Embiid, they got him down pat on NBA 2K18 in my career mode because he will, like, does some of the stuff that he do on Twitter, but he'll say, he'll call you up and he'll say, like, he'll, like, write this. This is all text, but he'll say, trust the process. And that's all he keeps saying, you know, which is so awesome about that game because you even have LeVar Ball tell you you're not a big baller. You'll never be Lonzo. And we're like, what? Lonzo, me and Lonzo? You need to be like Lonzo. We're like, we're both rookies. And it was weird, especially for my guy, because me and Lonzo Ball are teammates.
Oh, wow. That is so – it's just so funny. But I will say, I think the All-Star game is going to be great. I mean, I'm not mad at any of the selections. All these guys are great. I think what I am excited about, though, Brian, is that how the they'll actually pick their teams this year. So, of course, James and Curry as captains. The first four selections that they'll pick will actually, of course, come from the starters. We have yet to hear about the reserve players, but James will actually select ahead of Curry because he finished with the highest overall voting total. So I'm excited about that in the sense that
so
like,
I have one
who knows
issue with
who they'll
that.
pick. What?
One issue is not broadcasted live.
Oh, they're not broadcasting that part live? I did not know that.
From what I've heard,
Oh, well, yeah, that sucks, because you want to see that aspect of it.
I want to
see.
I feel
like that's what makes it fun.
We were talking about Petty earlier. I want to see who's going to be last.
Oh, my gosh. And so that takes us all back to when we used to play dodgeball. You know, now they don't let the kids
Bingo.
Because they say it's too violent. And you never want to say, best believe Kelsey was always making sure she knocked people out. Because I made sure, you know, sometimes y'all boys were wrong and cruddy and waited the girls last. But I was always the first girl, sometimes the first one pick. Because let me tell you, Brian, if dodgeball was a sport, I'd still be playing right now.
Oh, boy.
And kickball. Let me tell you, I was the queen of
oh,
recess
man.
Back
kickball.
In the day.
I love kickball.
Oh, the good old days.
I want to see who would be picked last. And
how are they going to handle that? Ooh.
Yeah, and I want to see what happens. Like, say, like, let's just say LeBron James picks Kevin Durant first. You
yeah.
know? I want to see Steph Curry's reaction because and that would be the fun part because, you know, if you had to make a guess, who would you say – if you were picking, who would be your first pick if you was LeBron or Curry? Why should I say LeBron?
Honestly, I'm all for the guy that I think is the future of the NBA. I'm picking Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he just does so much for the game. And remember how he played last year? I mean, he was one of the only people that were taking it serious last year, the All-Star
and
game.
And then Russ.
He gives you his all. He gives you his all.
Yeah.
Right. And Russ, of course, because Russ is never going to be outshone.
Right. You know, I think, yeah,
who
I think
is
my
your
first
pick
would be – I want Boogie, man. Boogie
I
got
do like
the
Boogie
food,
Cousins,
dude.
Though.
He ain't played that much last year, which that makes me wonder, will we have another moment where somebody gets traded during the game or at the end of the game?
Oh,
like
don't
he did
remind
last
us
year?
That, right. As soon as we were ready for Boogie's postgame, next thing we know, lights out. I mean, Boogie's getting traded. We're like, what? And then next thing you know, we're all excited about the Boogie and AD matchup getting together. So Who knows?
I'm just thinking about. I started thinking about my friends who was working in Bristol. You know, you set up ready to produce one post game show, and
all of a sudden you got to switch up everything
and talk about breaking news.
Best believe they're ready.
That was a fun night, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. I mean, how can that ever not be? Just wow, wow, wow. That's all I'll say. But we're all excited for the All-Star Game coming up next month in February in the beautiful Los Angeles. And then if that's not enough, guess what? On Thursday, they announced that 11-time Grammy winner Pharrell and his hip-hop rock band Nerd, N-E-R-D, will headline the halftime show at the All-Star Game. So, I mean, you get a good game, you get a good performance. I think it's worth the ticket. Check ticket prices and go out and go watch some NBA All-Star Games. And hopefully they really compete this year. But, Brian, I mean, it's been so much fun. But now I'm going to take you to my Woman Crush Everyday segment, the last segment of my show, but one of the most important segments. And I want to talk about my man Nick Cannon because he has a film coming out calling She Ball. Have you heard about it?
I've heard bits and pieces.
All right, well, I'm going to take you through real quick why I'm honoring him for my Woman Crush Everyday segment before people wonder why, like, wait, Kelsey, like, you know, he's a man. Well, I'm honoring him because he's directing, writing, producing, and starring in She Ball, which is an indie film about women's street basketball. He will star alongside Chris Brown, Cedric the Entertainer, and Evan Ross. She Ball follows the love of the game through the struggles of Avery Watts, who will be played by Cannon, who enlists the baddest women's street ball league in the city to help him save the embattled Inglewood Community Center, which he manages, all while trying to raise his 7-year-old daughter. So to bring authenticity to the project, it will feature real-life athletes from the WNBA, Ball Up, and the Basketball Beauties League. So I like this because I think women's basketball is being put on the forefront. I think having someone mm-hmm. with creative talent such as Nick Cannon do it, because Nick Cannon, people always play him and stuff, but that man is very talented and very smart. There's a reason why he's doing stuff with Nickelodeon. There's a reason why Wild N' Out is still producing and going on tours and stuff. I mean, he's really a genius. And there's still a reason why Drumline is one of my all-time favorite movies. But I know, right? But he's really, truly talented. And again, I think women's basketball, for some of the part, I think it doesn't get the support that it needs because people haven't been exposed to it. And then when they are exposed to it, they haven't been exposed to it in a fun way. Like, you know, we all remember, what's the movie, Like Mike and stuff, right, where the NBA's put on this big map, and, you know, we all want it to be like Mike, right? But in women's basketball, we don't really have a movie like that. I mean, you know, Love and Basketball, of course, it showed women's basketball somewhat, right, but it was more about the story of them falling in love and getting together. Well, this movie will actually highlight women's basketball and women's street league basketball, which I'm sure a lot of people don't know about. So I think it'll only help the sport. You know, I hope it does well. And like I said, I hope it opens people's eyes to women's basketball and why women's sports need more attention, more love, and just more people all around supporting the game. So what are your thoughts on this?
Time's up. Let's do it. I'm with the Time's Up movement. So, you know, I'm excited about it. It's definitely something I'm going to be supporting.
Yes, and Cedric the Entertainer, he's hilarious to me, so I'm glad to see that he'll be back in the movie. I think he's great in that.
You never go wrong with Sid.
Oh, my gosh. I'm all for the old school comics. They are hilarious. And it's interesting.
I think he's one that did the – oh, sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, I'll let you talk on Frederick, but also I was just going to say Nick has also gotten some flack. I don't know if you heard, but – of course, some people don't like that Chris Brown will be in the film, of course, because of his past incident that happened with Rihanna and the domestic abuse. So, you know, some people are very anti-Chris Brown and anything. But Nick Cannon's basically, you know, saying everyone deserves another chance and that he's changed. So, you know.
I hope he's changed. I felt that he wasn't remorseful afterwards, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that a lot of times with Chris Brown, he let himself – you know, he definitely let his emotions take over, especially on Instagram. You know, just the language he was used with, like, some of his exes or fans in general is just very, very uncomfortable. But, you know, every day you wake up, there's an opportunity to change. So I'm hoping that he has changed, like McCann said, because clearly, you know, that's just not a good look. Like I said, you know, people want to stay, you know, they want to judge one of our favorite football running back, Ray Rice, you know, but Ray Rice has did the right things afterwards. You know, after that one incident, he's done nothing but the right things in the public eye, you know.
Right. And I think it's just hard, though. I think especially now with social media, we live in a world, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I think now it's harder to get a second chance, right? Kind of like, you know, we talked about the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement. Well, all these guys that have gotten accused, honestly, I don't think they're going to get a second chance because they've already been crucified in public opinion. And if you do wrong, wrong is wrong. But at the same time, I mean, is everybody going to give people a second chance? No. And I don't think, you know, you can make people. But I think especially now with social media, it's harder to get that second chance because, you know, easily you can look up anybody's past mistakes now, right? It's just a click away.
Absolutely.
And I think if people don't forget that, you know, it's hard. So, I mean, I don't know. I hope people don't boycott because I love what the film is about. I hope people don't boycott in the sense that I want people to support it because it's about women's basketball. And I hope, you know, Chris Brown being in it doesn't take away from the talented women and men that will star in this film. Like I said, it's all about the storyline, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So it'll be good. But, Brian, it was so much fun with you. I hope you had a blast. I can't believe how quickly time went. But time flies when you're having fun. And we talked about a lot of good topics, and I want to tell the listeners, I mean, thank you for tuning in, and that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you all had some fun. I hope you learned something, and of course, I hope you jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that will drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. So, yes, get your phones out and be sure to hit download. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until later next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because guess what? There's always another play.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit foxsports1340am.com. Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.